or 3D at best. That's hardly the game, more like a pale shadow thereof, only useful for chatting. The account's owner also has to be around with their bracelet on. Also, 2D connections lag a lot lately, as do 3D connections. Workers with such connections have drenched the whole forum with their tears already. That's just what they do. Log on in 2D. So, what's wrong with your character? All the beta tester characters were rolled back to level 0 before the game's official release. The stats were locked. I have a single point of vigor and strength each, nothing else, and no way to level up. Who'd need a ridiculous worker like that? Why don't you delete this character and create a new one? I can play with this one free of charge. It won't be that expensive. Yeah. For someone whose arms and legs work, and who has some money at least. Are you disabled? Quadriplegic. There's no one to take care of me, so I exist side by side with vegetables like myself. The money I get is received by the center that takes care of my useless carcass. Second World have provided them with the equipment when they recruited the beta testers, and no one has taken it back. This is charity of sorts. What would you prefer, to lay around in the smell of piss, or to wander about here? A silly question. So you have no money at all? Well, had I been a disabled person from the USA or Canada, there would have been something jangling in my pockets. But they put Mexico in the same sector as Canada and the US, and things have really gone south after the recent events here. One day you're young and in perfect health, and then suddenly some psycho decides to express their disagreement with the government the only way their paltry brain can think of, by exploding a bomb in a cafe that, by a stroke of rotten luck, you happen to be passing by on your way home. And presto, you're no longer the model of physical health. You try your best to recover with therapy and surgery, but it's expensive. Down here, insurance won't even cover your cold medicine, and so you keep on paying. Next comes the moment when you can no longer pay, but you're still a cripple. Believe me, vegetables like me cannot possibly have so much as a copper, just debts and regret at not having kicked the bucket that fateful day. I should be grateful they didn't take me to the dumpster, I guess. Sorry about prying. It just seemed strange to me. Don't apologize. Might as well laugh at this twist of fate. I'm a cripple in life and in Second World. I've been trying to gather some coppers here. I sometimes come by a little spare change. I might have enough for a proper connection in about a year and a half. I hope I don't kick the bucket before that. Then it's either curtains for good or getting stuck here as a noob forever, worse than any level zero player. I'm pretty much betting everything on that chance. If I manage to make some money, I'll be able to keep on paying for the account from the profit I make here, and I'll be able to lead a normal life instead of... Although, I do enjoy walking around Arben, even now, as a crippled freak, and watching how it changes. Changes? That's right. This world was originally designed as an evolving environment. A long time ago, this was just a level place with nothing on it, with bunches of test bots and game designer characters wandering around it instead of the NPCs. Then the city was built. It had undergone a few changes before it started to look like this. No one has seen any game designers or bots here since, but Arben keeps on changing. Take a look at this house. Okay. What do you see? A regular city dwelling constructed of wood, brick, and blocks of rough-hewn limestone. Stories 2. Rooms 8 to 12. Attic, present. Basement, present. Dwellers, 16 to 24. That's right. I remember a time when newbies visited this house on a regular basis. There were a few NPCs here giving easy quests. Chop some wood, kill some pesky crow plaguing their vegetable patch, or take a letter to the post office. The rewards weren't particularly impressive, but the quests weren't the kind where you'd have to kill a few raid bosses either. Then the Arben thread at the forum became drenched in the tears of the hapless noobs. The good NPCs vanished without a trace, and the house stood empty. The noob tears were duly wiped, the administration never replied to any questions concerning botched quests, and the house saw some new dwellers move in, a few NPCs, and oddly enough, two players, a family couple. What's so special about that? The new NPCs don't give you any quests or quest rewards. They can pay you a few coppers if you help them with their housework, but it's nothing like the way it used to be. On the other hand, virtually each one of them can tell you their life story, long and eventful enough to blow your socks off. There's a veteran from an empire wiped out by an army of fire elementals who carried the heir to the throne out of the burning palace in his arms, or an old lady refugee who had to abandon her home in the country together with her sisters once the area became infested with the undead. And there are lots of others. You can glean a lot of interesting things from them. However, none will address you directly with a pitch like, "Son, I am 1 foot in the grave already, so let me share a great secret with you. Pay a visit to the Black Farm. There's a pot of silver buried underneath the tethering post. It's yours if you can dig it out. Oh, I nearly forgot. There's usually a bunch of undead guards next to the tethering post, 14 high-level skeleton swordsmen. They won't treat you kindly." You go there, vanquish the foes, dig out the silver, and receive a system message. The buried silver quest is completed. Your reward, 1,000 XP points. 1 point added to your heroic reputation, and 1 more point added to your notoriety. This is how it used to be. But now it's much harder to find a working quest, and they keep changing from one completion to another. So now the noobs are crying foul. They prefer things to be simple, easily digestible, and described in detail in guides. Well, what do you think of our new NPCs now?
To tell you the truth, I didn't understand much.
To be absolutely truthful with you, I'm in a similar position. These changes are weird. There's something about the way the game evolves that eludes me. The majority of the players are fools. So wherefore the extra complications to scare them off? I'm trying to make sense of it all the time. By the way, how did you read the stats of the house without touching it?
Well, I just gave it a long, hard look and saw the info window pop up.
What's your perception?
1 point.
Weird. That shouldn't be enough to do it. What about intellect and mental power?
Also 1 point each.
This is interesting. They are related, and I have long suspected that the connection works even at low levels. What are you on about? The stats. You know how strength relates to carrying capacity, right?
Not really.
Let's assume you have 1 point of carrying capacity. This means you can carry a load that weighs 5 kilos. However, if your carrying capacity is 0, you won't manage it. Strength alone won't let you lift more than 4 kilos. I'm not sure about the exact values, so this is approximate. Therefore, you'll need 2 points of strength. However, everything that boosts carrying capacity gives you a certain bonus to what you can lift. So, for example, you'll be able to lift more than 4 kilos per point of strength. Say, 4 kilos and 110 grams. The greater your carrying capacity value, the greater the bonus. You can eventually go up to 5 kilos per strength point, but I have never heard of anyone achieving it. In general, each stat gives you a bonus for many things, so the actual weight you can carry may depend on other factors but strength and carrying capacity. There are hundreds of gigabytes of forum posts written on the subject, but no one has come up with any precise formula of which relates to what and in what proportion. The proportions are also rumored to vary from race to race, and they are affected by the choices made by the player.
So how does this relate to the house?
Simple.
One point of perception will not let you get the info on the house without touching it, or even without stepping inside. However, raised intellect and mental power can change things quite a bit. Other stats may play their part too, but you're a worker, aren't you? What have you got? Vigor, strength, carrying capacity, and not much speed? Not quite. I must have made a mistake, but I dumped all my points into agility. Most of them. Oh, and sorry, I told you the wrong perception value. It's 2, not 1. Forgot about that. So what's your agility then? 27. Digits stopped and shook his head. That wasn't a mistake, lad. You're screwed. Royally screwed. You're in it, right at the bottom of the legendary pool that collects all of this world's shit. I'm shocked, lad. I could almost admire you. You are something. You're the Emperor of Noobs. Chapter 5. TWS Guild is hiring workers for its mines. Miners. Copper. Dwarves. Strength 26+. Carrying capacity 10+. Vigor 6+. Mining and quarrying 2+. Malachite. 1 miner, no 0 level players. Conditions and salary TBD. Private messages. Mules. Orcs. Strength 30+. Carrying capacity 15+. Vigor 8+. Experience with single track lines with underground junctions a plus. Ogres. TBD. Private messages. Terms. No guards in the mines at night. Dorm accommodation, 4 workers per room. 3 meals a day, buffs in the morning and at lunchtime, work clothes and equipment deduced from salary, constant daytime guard of high-level players. Pay, $44 per day. When a production exceeds the norm by more than 1.5, a daily bonus is paid. General bonuses paid on a monthly basis. Bonuses depend on the volume of extra production, contract terms, and behavior. Norm 285. The first post in one of the numerous threads of the Anglophone sector of the Game Forum. But digits, stat points can be redistributed, can't they? Of course they can. You can also take a trip to Mars accompanied by all the starlets from the Return of the Nymphos and have fun with each of them while you're at it. I don't see how this is impossible, in theory. Practically, though, you might run into a few complications. You mean redistributing the points will be hard? Even if you only needed to reset your primary base stats, you'd need 20,000 gold pieces, or their equivalent in silver. The current exchange rate for 1 gold piece is $1.17, but even if you had the money, you wouldn't be able to do anything useful, since the only characters capable of resetting characteristics are NPCs ranking no lower than a viceroy or an archmage. You'll have to arrange an appointment with them, and then wait a while. By a while, I mean 2 or 3 months, and that's if you're lucky. They can also refuse to see you without having to explain their reasons. You have a work account, so you pay around $250 or $300 a month in the worst-case scenario. I hate to give advice, even though I do it all the time, but it would be easier for you to create a new character than keep on playing with this cripple. As far as I know, even the cheapest work accounts give you 3 free tries. Out of the question. What's the problem? I don't want to go into details, but trust me, I won't be able to get a new character. You can safely assume I have problems back there that are even more serious than yours. You don't tell the first person you meet. Your body is in a state of artificial coma, after all. Even if he managed to arrange being brought out of this condition, the attempt may not succeed. The risk was enormous, and his body may not endure it. The first time he came to his senses was a miracle. The doctors had no other explanation. And miracles had the penchant for not recurring.
All right. Then allow me to inform you of the following. You're up shit creek without a paddle. You've just fallen into a colossal shithole. It's so wide that an elephant could fall in without touching the rims once. It's that bad, is it? It doesn't have to be. You can keep me company. We can wander the city together, read newspapers, and hunt frogs. And I'll boast to all my contacts that I know the Emperor of Noobs personally. Why would we have to hunt frogs? We'll need to eat something. Without food, your character weakens and becomes a total wimp. You can also get paid for helping the locals. Chop some wood, collect bugs from their veggie patches, or play the postman. But it's pretty tedious, and the pay is a pittance. Hunting and roasting frogs is much more satisfying. Their legs are a true delicacy. Take a look over there. Ross looked in the direction pointed by Digits. He hadn't even noticed that they had left the city past the silent guard and were now following a narrow path between the city wall and the moat. Digits was pointing downward. There were lots of large frogs sitting on the steep banks and on lily pads. "There's plenty of food," his new acquaintance kept talking. "Also, the guards might give you a copper every now and then. They're not that fond of all the croaking. So we'll get by. In some 20 or 30 million years, we might even make a million in real money. Although you probably won't manage it. My account may be free, but you'll have to cough up a few hundred each month, even if you have a long-term contract with a discount or some special offer." "What about a miner's contract?" "Not for the likes of you. They need strength, carrying capacity, vigor, and speed. In that order. What are the minimum requirements for each stat?" "Well, you'll need around 20 points of strength, 10 or 11 points of carrying capacity, around 5 points of vigor, and some speed wouldn't hurt, although it's less critical. My estimates may be off, but not by much. Stats like those can land you a job in a more or less decent mine with average pay. Although you'll have to put some effort into it, your potential employers won't queue up to hire you." Ross compared the stats with his own. 9 points of strength, 4 points of carrying capacity, and 8 points of vigor. "Look, I have 8 points of vigor. Is there a chance to get hired if everything else is a bit lower?" "Since you have dumped everything you had into agility, they won't be a bit lower. They'll be much lower. They won't even hire you to dredge shit out of a village privy. You won't be able to lift a big enough bucket." "Crap. Are you sure you're a zero?" "What do you mean? You can't level up, right?" "Nope. It's a work account." "Even work accounts vary. Some can level up to 10 or even more. That's enough to get enough experience for a complex craft or a low-level creative occupation. Gardeners, stonecutters, construction workers, figure casters. I have experience working with electronics and lots of other things as well." "Forget your real-world skills. You start from scratch here. Someone like you is unlikely to find employment even as a servant. After all, servants need basic combat skills. No one needs a worker who can fall under the weight of a heavy tray and smash an expensive set of dinnerware. Are you sure you can't get a different character?" "Quite sure." "Well, sucks to be you then." Digits sat down at the edge of the moat, took a pebble out of his bag, tossed it up on his palm, then took a swing and threw it at the nearest frog. He missed, and the amphibian escaped with a loud splash. Digits seemed unfazed and tried again, this time successfully hitting and killing his quarry. He stared into the distance gloomily for a while and drawled mirthlessly, "There goes our kill. You know, if I could upgrade at least stats, if not levels, the way zeros do, I'd have received some measly bonus to accuracy by now. Maybe 0.01% or even less. So after 500 or 600 frogs, I'd add a point to accuracy. Get it?" "Not quite," replied Ross distractedly, deep in somber contemplation.
He didn't just contemplate. He was writing a message to his attorney in the chat window, listing his stats and asking whether anything could be done about it. Let's say you chop down a tree. That's what lumberjack workers normally do. The tree has its own durability points, or hit points, of sorts. Once you get through them, the tree falls, and you receive your experience points. A worker can receive experience, but it does little good. The leveling up is blocked, but the stats aren't. Get it? If you spend vigor points as you work, your vigor stat will grow by a tiny amount. If strength is used, it goes up as well. Even accuracy may grow if the worker hits his first notch, or whatever it is called, repeatedly, without letting the axe chop all over the place. Do you get it now? Not quite. You're too dull-witted, even for the Emperor of Noobs. It's really easy. You work, your stats rise, albeit very slowly. I don't know how much time it's going to take you, but you can totally level up your strength until it's sufficient. Drag heavy stuff around, and it will grow, as well as vigor, which grows faster the more often you use it up completely. I remember as much from my own experience. It's tedious and nauseating, but you can still raise these stats. Ross was reading the reply from his attorney just then. Do not attempt anything. Resetting the stats is too complex and costly. Getting back to character selection would require a functioning body, and you are currently comatose. Please wait. We might be able to find you a position as a janitor or something similar. Those positions are usually filled by NPCs, but we see no other choice in your situation. He felt dizzy for a moment. A janitor? Well, even if he didn't mind, what would the pay be like? Since no players seemed to want that kind of work, it was easy enough to guess. Not the job where you could make a million. What was the matter with him anyway? A noob indeed. He may have made a mistake, and his understanding of this world may be poor, but he still had his brain. Well, perhaps the brain wasn't working as well as it should. His body was in a coma, and that might affect things. Think, you idiot. Try to strain whatever you have left. Digits, you were saying that stats can grow from long and hard work? They can. Your levels may be blocked, but your stats are open. Keep in mind, though, that the only ones that grow easily are the ones that are currently at zero. Progress between 1 point and 2 points will take a great deal more time, and it will take longer to get from 20 to 21 than it will from 0 to 15. Also, only the primary stats grow easily. The secondary and auxiliary ones are much harder. Some are next to impossible to level up. But you shouldn't worry about carrying capacity. It isn't one of the latter. I don't even have an axe I could chop wood with. It wouldn't do you any good anyway. The guards won't let you chop any trees in the city, and out in the woods, you may run into problems once some mob with rudimentary intelligence realizes there's a zero-level noob on the loose and easy to track by the sound of the axe hitting the trees. You don't like to give advice, but Digits was about to throw a pebble at another frog, but stopped his arm, turned around, and drew a heavy sigh. I could give you an advice, but you're bound to curse me for it. Not right now, perhaps, but you'll definitely curse me at some point. Shoot. There is a job you could do, and they'll even pay you for it, but you're not gonna like it. There's nothing else I can tell you, but remember, you'll end up cursing my name, and perhaps more than once. The pay is nothing to write home about, I take it? You're absolutely right. I won't refuse it. I need to start somewhere anyway. The ensuing developments seemed to happen in some sort of a daze. Digits brought Ross to some nondescript house. Inside was a dwarf NPC sitting in the middle of a tiny room cluttered with lopsided bookcases stuffed with papers. He reacted to the offer to let the new laborer work at the clan mine with a barrage of caustic epithets, each of which characterized Ross negatively in one way or another. A piece of useless shit, was the mildest term and sounded almost like praise as compared to the rest. Next came a player of an unfamiliar race, pointy-eared like an elf, but with dark skin. He told Ross to join his party. He had to accept the invitation that popped up before him. Then Ross opened his stats for perusal, and the dark elf laughed long and hard together with the NPC, having used the word noob some 24 times in a variety of combinations and intonations. He ended his diatribe by saying, "I really wonder where you managed to find cretins of this caliber, Digits." Ross was beginning to realize that Digits may not be helping him out of pure altruism, suspecting that he may not be as harmless as he seemed. However, he already took the bit between his teeth, having received a cheerful message from the attorney who had found him a vacancy after all. The job involved waving a large fan over a rich player pretending to be the Shah of Persia. He decided not to wait for the next vacancy of a harem eunuch to open. No matter what happened next, he had gotten into this thing all by himself and was now going to paddle out on his very own. He was hardly a fool, so he should think of something. He might as well start with hard physical labor. He'd get used to it and see what he could do next. He was no child to be led by the hand, and he was determined to prove it. Ross was taken outside the city walls and given a place in a 2-wheeled cart. The NPC driver said gruffly, "Just like you miners to wander around in the dark. We'll join a caravan of villagers in a bit and keep following them until the morning. Then we'll take the turn toward the mine. If you get lost, you'll have to find your own way, and if you fall asleep the way your ilk do, when no one can rouse you, I won't even bother to dump you there, and you'll be taken right back to the city." Fall asleep and become completely unresponsive? Did the NPC think Ross might log out of the game? If only he knew. Ross had no way out. Why is Second World so popular? This is indeed the ultimate question, and no one has managed to provide a simple answer so far. You want me to try to answer it? All right, I'll give it a try. We have repeatedly been accused of plagiarism, and I have to concede we did, in fact, plagiarize. We have relied on the achievements of our predecessors very heavily. Seasoned players familiar with many projects will find the best elements of what they already know inside Second World, or, perhaps, elements that are far from the best. We had to make great sacrifices in order to make the world balanced. So, what do we have? We have a great many things copied from a variety of gaming projects, blended together in new and creative ways. You might say that we didn't invent it, and that there were numerous instances of copying before we came along, and you'll be absolutely right. Many games were nothing but clones of the same game, the only difference being the graphics. So why are we better than them? Why have we been so tremendously successful? Let me answer as follows. Second World rests on 3 pillars. The first pillar is the financing that has made it feasible for us to gather enormous resources to launch just a single project. We have the best of everything. Developers, software, and hardware. Hundreds of creative talents have contributed to the development of the gameplay. The best artists have worked on the graphical content. Every byte of code was tested a few thousand times. We haven't had a single critical error in our entire history, and those were common enough in the games that preceded ours. The world is controlled by fifth-generation AIs. Even one of those is beyond the means of many sovereign nations, whereas we have several of those servicing every sector. It is extremely costly, but amazingly reliable. The second pillar is that we have brought the deep immersion technology to a conceptually new level. We were the ones who have achieved true verisimilitude. The players do not notice any differences from the real world. Their characters are perfectly real, up to the patterns on their fingers and the prints they leave. The world is just like ours. Its primary difference is that every item, event, and even personal ability is expressed as a sequence of digital data, similarly to the multitude of games developed earlier. Second World may seem simpler in some aspects and more complex in others. It is also perfectly real to one's perception. It is complex and keeps evolving. There isn't a single guide that would manage to cover so much as a quarter of its secrets. One can't help but want to learn everything there is about it. It is a perfect vehicle for satisfying one's desire for new sensations. And, for all intents and purposes, it is the only one available to the overwhelming majority of the Earth's population. Finally, the third pillar is that no one can affect the processes that transpire within Second World with non-gaming methods. Not a single employee of the corporation can materialize so much as a copper coin. They would have to create a character, produce some copper ore, use an industrial or a magical method to extract copper, and then send it to the mint, where the Imperial Financial Advisor will oversee its transformation into coins of the lowest denomination. There are no other methods. Second World is just like our good old Earth in this respect. No item can come from out of nowhere. It can only be the final link in a production chain. Games that came earlier gave administrators plenty of special privileges. They could appear inside the game using a godlike character with maxed-out stats and make any items in any number, block a player from a chat, or even kick them from the game. All of this led to abuses, or at least suspicions that the administration meddles in the gaming process. In Second World, this is impossible, even theoretically. Excerpts from the interview given by Aaron Gray, the founding director of the Second World Corporation's USA Canada sector, to the Gamer magazine. Chapter 6. The Great Armada Guild reports that the player Arebrostin Dokarabas is a fraudster. He has terminated a contract unilaterally, escaping from an unguarded mine without handing in the ore. The breach of contract has been registered by the Sithrimon Miners Guild. Acknowledged. Confirmed. Blacklisted by the Cartagena Guild. The first two posts in one of the numerous threads of the Hispanic sector of the Game Forum. Tamsak Herdia Abushan is a thief. He took all the goods from a trolley on the second day of a month-long contract and split. If you want to confirm it, check with the NPCs at the Lhasa Miners Guild, the Unforgiving. He's just a catch with a name to match. All of you are hopeless noobs. The first three posts in one of the numerous threads of the Russian sector of the Game Forum. Hey, you! Wake up! Ross blinked his eyes in confusion. Could he have fallen asleep? In this mercilessly bumpy cart and with the gloomiest kind of thoughts in his head? And all of this inside the game? Well, it seemed that sleep was a basic necessity even here. He got off the cart. Once his eyes adapted to the bright morning sun, he saw that he was standing on a patch of ground, tamped down to concrete hardness. There was a tall palisade made of thick logs in front of him, roughly twice human height. It completely blocked the entrance to a narrow gorge with vertical walls splitting an enormous rock in two. There was a single gate for entry, clad in strips of slightly rusty iron. When he turned around, he saw the edge of a gloomy fir wood with a narrow dirt road leading to the gate, the one they took to get here. "Hey!" shouted the driver, an elderly yet still sturdy geezer with a thin beard and a mighty belly. Come out to meet your guest of honor. Have you all gone deaf? Ahead, in a full steel helm, emerged from behind the palisade and rumbled,
Is that you, Tarar? Why so early? Wandering through the woods at night, have you gone mad?
Duh. I joined a villager caravan. They know me well there. I got you this guy from the office, and I can take some of your stuff back if we reach an agreement.
Yeah? How much is your cart going to carry?
As much as it has to.
I know your tricks. And who would you be?
Me? Ross pointed to himself.
No, I was asking Tarar's horse. You're not very bright, are you? On the other hand, we rarely ever get any other kind, so I shouldn't be surprised.
I'm your new worker.
Well, ain't I grateful to you for your explanation? I just mistook you for an emperor. You're too late for breakfast, but not too late for work. Hey, Greedy, get your ass off your perch already. We have a new worker. Come over, will you? You have a delivery. Fresh meat.
The latch banged loudly, and the gate opened with a creak. A broad-shouldered dwarf came out. Judging by the expression on his face, he had just eaten a bucketful of lemons without sugar, and Ross thought the two of them were probably unlikely to become friends. His name was Greedius Nappy. Didn't look much like a work account. Instead of the squiggle, he had a paunchy diamond and another icon that looked like a spade sticking from a grave.
"Who are you?"
asked the dwarf grumpily.
My name is right there over my head, and I can't pronounce it. You can call me Ross.
Call? You? You've got a big head on those shoulders, noob. So what do we have above that big and empty head of yours? Ross Stendrix Poterentax. Took you a while to come up with, didn't it? All right. Ross it is.
I agree.
Did anyone ask for your agreement, you clown? Follow me, and don't lag behind.
Another palisade stood a few dozen meters behind the first. This one was much higher, and they had to wait outside for a while before the gate could open. There were lots of interesting things behind. The gorge became much wider here, forming something like a volcanic crater with vertical walls. The climb uphill would be some 200 meters from where they stood now. The bottom of the crater lay deep underground, and Ross couldn't see it from here. The space before the crater was filled with chaotically placed log cabins, all of the same size. They looked like peasant cottages. A little further on, there stood an unremarkable building with two pot-bellied smelting furnaces disgorging thick smoke right next to it. There were a few bare-chested figures fiddling with something next to them, orcs, judging by their build. No one else in the settlement seemed to be doing anything. Ross took in all these details as they moved. Greedy walked in the direction opposite the furnaces without stopping for breaks. There was a circle of boulders with a short pole in the middle.
"Bind here," the dwarf grumbled.
"Say what?"
"I said, bind to the respawn point."
"Come again?"
"Are you a total noob?"
"Something like that."
"What a day. I wonder where they find idiots like you. This is our respawn point. We should all be bound to it, including you."
"What for?"
"Squiggly, if you get squashed by a rockfall, where do you think you'll end up once you've resurrected?"
"I don't know. I haven't died yet."
"Aren't you one lucky immortal? I'm amazed. Okay, let me give you a few life lessons, free of charge so far. If you get snuffed, you'll reappear where you began the game. That was your first respawn point. So you'd have to cross forests and fields to get here, and the ever-ravenous wolves and other representatives of the local fauna and flora will doubtlessly gobble you up at some point. So you'll have to walk again, and you'll get eaten again. So who's going to work while you keep feeding those fiends? Let me give you a hint. No one."
"I get it. So I'll be able to come back to life at this spot."
"Well,
You can choose another spot, right there at the crater, for instance, to respawn right over the drop. Or perhaps you could find a privy and bind there. They'll be happy to see your face everywhere.
How does one bind?
Approach the pole, touch it, and say out loud, "I want to make this my new respawn point." You might try doing it mentally, too. That usually works as well.
Ross followed the instruction, and a system message flashed up before him. Would you like to make the present location your new respawn point?
Yes, he answered out loud.
Your current respawn point, miner settlement next to the Ravenous Mine in the Rallia province. The current owner is the Sword Power Guild. Attention, this is a dangerous zone. There is high likelihood of aggressive actions from monsters and players. It is not recommended to place your bind points in dangerous zones.
Are you done, or did you decide to pee on the pole as well?
Yeah, looks like it.
Follow me then.
Greedy took Ross to a nondescript log cabin and told him to wait by the door. He didn't have to wait long. The dwarf reappeared in a few minutes with a bundle of rags and a pickaxe.
Here you go, Squiggly, and don't forget to thank me.
Thank you. Now, what am I supposed to do with these?
You noobs sure are a test of one's patience. Get these royal garments on instead of your rags. What you have now is for novices. A single sneeze in the mine will blow it to pieces. You should also get a hard hat. They're under the awning over there. They've seen better days, but will do just fine for noobs like you. You have a bag and boots of your own. If any of them fall apart, we'll deduct the cost of new ones from your pay. Also, keep in mind that we don't do advance payments. We serve meals in the morning and in the evening. You can only wash in the evening. If you're a cleanliness freak, you can wash your face in the creek down in the crater. Got it? Now go to the mine. It's down there in the crater as well.
I have some problems with my stats distribution.
They're your problems, so you deal with them. I have enough of mine.
But your requirements?
Can you lift a pickaxe? If you can, we can use you. Don't forget to take a token before you enter the mine. Since you're a total noob, I'll explain it to you. There's a board on one of the walls with pieces of tin on wires hanging on it. You can pick any of those.
But I don't know what to do there. I'm not a miner. I've never tried it.
Everyone tries something for the first time at some point. Don't forget it, especially if you drop a bar of soap in the showers and then decide to pick it up.
Shouldn't there be some sort of a briefing?
I've just finished it. Get into the mine. You won't receive anything for today, since you won't be properly registered until tomorrow evening, but you can keep whatever ore you manage to get in your bag for tomorrow. You can also learn from experienced miners. There are lots of them down there.
Greedy grinned unpleasantly as he said that, and Ross got the suspicion that the professional level of the local miners may turn out to be somewhat lower than that of truly weathered workers. Or, alternatively, they may refuse to teach him. Novice Miner's Jacket, Workwear, protects from underground dampness. Not a good choice of clothing for hot weather. Melee Defense, 2. Ranged Defense, 0. Magic Defense, 0. Workwear Bonus, protects from being hit with rocks. Requirements, none. Weight, 1.34 kilograms. Durability, 17 out of 40. Right, no surprises there. They gave him a bunch of old rags. What about the pickaxe? Novice Miner's Pickaxe, Tool and Crushing Weapon. Damage, 1 to 2. Tool bonus, 2 to 4 to damage to rock. Requirements, none. Weight, 3.14 kilograms. Durability, 19 out of 80. Not exactly a shiny new tool. Even without the description, it was easy enough to see that the pickaxe would soon see its last hour. Lots of chips in the metal, rust stains, and cracks in the handle. What about his head protection? Novice Miner's Hard Hat, protective equipment, protects from falling rocks, melee and ranged weapons,
Weapons defense, 3. Magic defense, 0. Protective equipment bonus, defense from crushing weapons, 5. Protection from rock strikes, 6. Requirements, none. Durability, 22 out of 50.
Now wasn't that great? His head would be protected by a piece of junk, just like the rest of him.
Ross was a different person as he approached the crater. He may have been a noob before, but now he was one of the noob scum. Wearing an ill-fitting canvas jacket and incredibly shabby pants made of the same kind of fabric, a cracked hard hat of unidentifiable color on his head, and a rusty pickaxe in his hands. His career was surely taking off.
Chapter 7. A narrow path meandered toward the center of the crater. The orcs that kept coming up along it, pushing wooden carts on tiny wheels that glided along parallel grooves left in the stone, made it harder to navigate. Greenskins paid no more attention to Ross than they would to an empty space, and he kept flinging himself back against the tunnel walls in order to evade a collision. It didn't take him long to get to the bottom. It lay about 100 meters below the surface, and the distance wasn't long despite the road circling the crater a few times. 2 more smoking furnaces stood at the flat bottom. Their noxious smoke made Ross sneeze on the way down. He crossed the wooden bridge that led across a narrow creek, approached one of the bare-chested orcs working the furnaces, and asked politely, "I'm new here. How do I find who's in charge?"
"Come to my dorm tonight. I'll tell you if you scratch my heels," said the green gorilla eagerly.
His partner laughed out loud, and Ross realized he would hardly get any useful information here. He replied, as politely as he could, "Thank you. I'll think on your proposal." Both orcs started guffawing while Ross headed toward one of the numerous holes burrowing into the rock underneath the crater. The only reason he chose that one was that it was much bigger than the rest of them and didn't look abandoned. Also, it was the only one that kept disgorging carts from time to time. The greenskins must have been busy with the transportation while the others took care of production. They were the ones Ross intended to join. Inside, it wasn't any darker than at bright midday, despite his expectations. The tunnel burrowed deep into the mountain, and the torches hung on the walls at uneven intervals. He could see no more carts. All of them probably got left behind. He did meet an orc, where the first tunnel crossed another one. He sat near a wooden cart of the same sort and didn't pay any attention to Ross, who decided to refrain from addressing him, recollecting how the rest of his green-skinned kin treated him. Ross cocked an ear and heard the sounds of iron striking rock at a distance. That must be where he should go. The tunnel kept getting narrower and darker. There were fewer torches, and their light was dimmer. But that didn't seem to matter to Ross, apparently as the result of night vision, his racial skill. Well, his choice might be good for something after all. The sounds kept getting louder, but their source remained in the distance. Ross was starting to think he'd never reach it when he got to an intersection with another tunnel, or rather, a low and narrow burrow in the mountain. That was where the sounds were coming from. Ross took less than 100 steps when he saw a dwarf underneath a single torch, hitting the rock furiously with his pickaxe.
"Hi, I'm new here. Could you please tell me what to do?"
"Buzz off. This spot is occupied," said the dwarf gruffly, without pausing his work.
Ross started to suspect that the local dwarves were just as bad as the orcs, but he kept going. There seemed to be someone else there working the pickaxe. It wasn't long before he found a torch with another bearded shorty sitting underneath. He appeared to be taking a nap.
"Good morning. I'm new. Could you please explain what one does here?"
The dwarf replied as gruffly as his kinsman, My, aren't you ugly? You must be what my alky dad was seeing before they took him to the funny farm. What race are you? I've never seen anyone like you, and I've seen a lot.
It's rare. Sure is. Would anyone become such a freak of their own volition? Are you a total noob?
I am, Ross nodded. Well, don't worry about it. You aren't the first, and you won't be the last. Did you get the token?
I did.
Did you hang it on your neck?
I did.
0 perception?
2 points.
What the hell? 1 point would have been more than enough.
27 points of agility, too.
You don't say. Screwed up the stats, have you?
I have.
Happens all the time. Get a different character.
I can't.
A promo account with a single choice option?
Something like that.
Well, wipe the character and choose a different plan with a better choice.
I can't do that either.
Well, aren't you a lucky SOB? In that case, take your pickaxe and start digging for ore.
I wish I knew how.
It's as easy as picking your nose. Walk through the tunnels and look at walls. 1 point of perception is enough to notice the areas where you can find ore. Not that you'll have to search much. This vein is enormous. Once you find a spot with ore, start hitting it with your pickaxe until a chunk falls out. Once your vigor runs out, rest. That's what I'm doing now. The fewer movements you make, the faster it regens.
All right, I'll try.
Go on, there's nothing hard about it. Any noob should be able to get the hang of things. You'll learn as you keep going. I can give you a few tips if you need them. Once your bag is full, take it to the section of the mine with the carts. Dump the ore from your bag into one of the carts. In order to facilitate the process, just open the bag and then the cart's window. Drag a piece of ore into the cart. You'll be asked whether you want to transfer the piece of ore. Your answer should be, transfer all ore, whether out loud or mentally. Your bag will be emptied and the token will record your submission. You'll be able to see how much you submitted by the end of the day.
Thanks. You're the first one to have explained something.
Greedy didn't bother much. Sure, no one likes to talk here, and Greedy is a stinker of the highest order.
Why does everyone have the same voice?
Are you playing with full immersion?
I am.
No point in that. They definitely overcharge you.
Well, that's how things are for me.
Most of us use 3D. It's slower and less convenient, but you can direct a character toward the ore, press a key, and he keeps swinging his pickaxe at it until a chunk of ore falls out. The account is a bit cheaper, too. You need all your luck to earn anything at all in one of these sword power mines, so people try to save every coin. I used to play in 2D before, but the interface is so lagged these days it's a torture to try to work.
All right, now go. I'll start swinging my pickaxe in a moment, and I won't be able to talk while I'm at it.
I'm Ross. What's your name?
It's Pup.
Get going already.
Looking for ore turned out to be a bit harder than Pup had assured him. Ross kept staring at rock until his eyes hurt, but couldn't see anything worthy of hitting with his pickaxe. He walked hundreds of steps and saw two more miners swinging away at the rock monotonously. This brought about the final conviction that he understood nothing. There should be ore here, yet for some reason there was none. Everyone seemed busy with their work. He was the only one wandering about like a blind idiot. He started looking all about him in despair, and suddenly he saw an information window pop up, the same kind he'd see when looking at his equipment or at one of the buildings in the city. He tried to find that spot again and found himself looking at the following legend: worthless black shale with traces of copper ore. Chance of finding a piece of ore, 79.23%. Chance of finding an additional piece of ore, 8.08%. Chance of discovering an unexpected resource, 0.01%. Ross got a better grip on the pickaxe and hit the rock as hard as he could. The tool produced a cascade of sparks and rebounded, striking his helmet tangentially.
The impact made his vision blur. Ross couldn't stay on his feet and fell down on his behind, shaking his head in confusion as he tried to hold the encroaching darkness at bay. He saw several system messages in his chat window and scrolled through to read it. The copper ore vein sustains 10 damage. Attention, you sustain 1 damage. What just happened? Did he actually hurt himself with the rebounding pickaxe? That seemed to be the case. His health bar was no longer full, with 127 hit points instead of 128. If he carried on like this, he was likely to do himself in, and then he'd have to climb all the way down into the mine again. He was very careful with his next hit. The copper ore vein sustains 10 damage. So it appeared that the harder you swung, the more damage you dealt. He decided he'd go slowly, without taking any unnecessary risks. Now what could this be? He saw a thin red bar over the description of the copper ore's properties. It looked a bit like his health bar, and was also slightly less than full. He took a closer look and saw the numbers, 1148 out of 1164. So he'd have to hit the ore around 200 times to defeat it. Sure enough, it looked like it would take quite a while. Ross kept chipping at the rock, and finally, the resource hit point bar emptied completely. The pickaxe struck the rock one last time, the red bar blinked and disappeared, and a sizable chunk of rock fell out of the wall, hitting his boot and rolling away. When Ross picked up his trophy, he discovered that the piece of ore was rather heavy, even though it was only fist-sized. All he had managed to chip off previously were tiny flakes resembling the scales of a very large fish, albeit black rather than silvery. Once he studied the chunk carefully, the information window popped up. Lump of poor quality copper ore, weight 1.07 kilograms, metal content 3.55%. Ross put the ore into his bag and examined the spot he had been working on. However, he didn't find any information there, only the marks left by his pickaxe. It was clear enough. He'd have to start searching again. Experience is priceless. This time around, the search didn't take him long. Later on, in the course of his work, Ross noticed that some of his strikes failed to deal any damage at all. On the other hand, he would occasionally deal up to 14 points of damage instead of the usual 5 or 7. Once he even managed a whopping 15 points. He had no idea how that happened. He decided he'd ask Pop or someone else about it. It would sure be nice if they could help make his labor more productive. The sixth lump of ore would be his in about a minute. Suddenly, Ross felt his arms go leaden, unable to lift the pickaxe, while his legs shook like they would fold any minute. Attention, you are tired. You need to rest or restore your vigor at once. The vigor bar was empty. He didn't even notice its 82 points get used up. On the other hand, his health bar was full again. Should he have a rest? It would be worth a try. After all, Pup must have had a good reason to be sitting instead of chipping away at the rock. The restoration of vigor was an excruciatingly slow process. It took around 10 minutes to replenish half the bar. Tired of waiting, Ross rose and chipped off 2 more lumps and then headed back, hoping to reach Pup when he'd be resting. Unfortunately, the dwarf kept tapping away at the rock with the enthusiasm of a hammer drill. Ross sat down next to him, waiting for his vigor to recover. He had already discovered that the less you moved, the quicker it replenished. Pup bent to pick up the lump he'd chipped off and said gruffly,
"I bet you have a bunch of questions again."
"I sure do."
"A sure sign of a noob. Well, I used to be one myself. All right, I'll take a break. I hardly have any vigor left anyway."
"Is there any quicker way of restoring it?"
"You might take a drink of water from the creek. That should give you about 10 points. You can't do it more often than once an hour, though."
"The creek's a long way off."
"Use a flask."
Where can I find one? You can buy it. But I don't have any money.
Talk to Greedy. He can get you one in advance, and you'll pay him back in ore. It'll cost you an arm and a leg, but there are no other vendors here, so you don't have much choice. You have a novice's bag, so the flask will occupy a single slot, but that's better than having it tied to your belt anyway. Any falling pebble can make a hole in it, if the flask is cheap, that is, but Greedy doesn't have any other kind.
So water works once an hour?
Yep.
Are there any other means?
You can use potions.
Where would I find them?
Greedy sells those, too. His potions work once an hour, but they restore 50 points. There's no point for you to bother with them. You're not likely to earn much anyway, and with those expenses, you'll end up owing him a pretty penny.
Is there any way to